Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. There are not tools being put down and there's not data being extracted. We've got that story plus, are you still winning about COVID, man? But we'll get it started with the good folks at the State Department. State Department official resigns over falsified report claiming Israel not blocking Gaza aid. The State Department under Antony Blinken, of course with longtime family connections to the Ghislaine Maxwell family, that Antony Blinken, under him, falsified a report to absolve Israel of any responsibility for blocking humanitarian aid flows into Gaza, The Guardian's reporting. Blinken had his underlings overrule the advice of the State Department's own experts on the issue to ensure that U.S. weapons kept flowing to Israel to aid in their ethnic cleansing program. A Holocaust, I call it. From the U.S. Guardian, U.S. State Department falsified report absolving Israel on Gaza aid. The State Department falsified a report earlier this month to absolve Israel of the responsibility for blocking humanitarian aid flows into Gaza, overruling the advice of its own experts, according to a former senior U.S. official who resigned this week. Stacey Gilbert left her post as a senior civil military advisor in the State Department's Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. That's a new one on me, James. She had been one of the department's subject matter experts who drafted the report mandated under National Security Memorandum 20, NSM 20, and published on the 10th of May. The NSM 20 report found that it was reasonable to assess that Israel had used weapons in a way that was inconsistent with international humanitarian law, but there wasn't enough concrete evidence to link specific U.S.-supplied weapons to those violations. Even more controversially, the report said the State Department did not, quote, currently assess that the Israeli government is prohibiting or otherwise restricting the transport of delivery of U.S. humanitarian assistance, end quote, in Gaza. But meanwhile, Biden says people have every reason to believe Netanyahu is prolonging the Gaza war to stay in power. This from antiwar.com. The president, that's the current American president, made the comments in an interview with Time magazine where he was asked, some in Israel have suggested that Netanyahu is prolonging the war for his own political self-preservation. Do you believe that? Biden responded, I'm not going to comment on that. There's every reason for people to draw that conclusion. So he did comment on that. Polling has shown the majority of Israelis want Netanyahu to resign once the war on Gaza is over. So any pause in Israeli military operations would increase the domestic pressure on him, James. I think even some of the big wigs in Hollywood are now using their speeches to even say, oh, okay, this is getting even a little bad for us, and we now all agree that Netanyahu should blah, blah, blah. But they're already gearing up for the next one, Lebanon war. Another one from antiwar.com. Tensions continue to rise on Israel's northern border with Lebanon, and there are reports of Israel's war cabinet discussing a full-scale war against Lebanon. Maybe check your calendar of holidays and war anniversaries for possible hints as to when. I said last September on this show and my own. Now, watch out. Yom Kippur is coming on. I feel like Israel's getting ready to do something. And again, James, the trick is to make this a race war. The Jews! I think that's the real kind of false flag attack in all of this. It is the evil apartheid state of Israel. For starters, James.
Yeah, well, you know what they say. War is the health of the state. And whether that's a race war that could be ginned up by Biden and Trump in the selection sideshow circus to rally their base there in America, or whether it's the Holocaust taking place in Gaza, obviously unconvicted war criminal Netanyahu will be happy to wrap himself in the flag and use it as a defense against any would-be critics. So no surprise that that's happening, and no surprise that then they would fail forward with that tactic in order to, hey, let's start a war with Lebanon, because this Holocaust in Gaza is working out so well. Anyway, yeah, we see the logic of that, or the illogic, but anyway, there's a political logic to it, and unfortunately, it continues to work. And I guess the risk of that is that we end up putting all of the blame for all of this on unconvicted war criminal Netanyahu, who is an unconvicted war criminal and does deserve to be put in prison, or whatever. As we pointed out before, he's the birdcage liner that can be changed out, and they can continue on with the policies under some whoever takes his place. So I think we have to concentrate on what is actually happening as well as the people who are doing it, and bring them to justice. Having said all of that, I will, as always, exhort people to go to the actual articles that we're citing here that will be linked up in the show notes, so that you can actually watch the interview with Stacey Gilbert. She's incredibly articulate, to the point, no nonsense, straight to the facts, lays out exactly what happened in her role. She was asked as one of the experts to produce this report, then got taken off the report and watched as the report came in, and all of the things they were saying about it were just completely 180 degrees reversed, totally opposite to what she knew to be reality, so she was forced to resign. Not only, of course, they're using weapons to commit acts of war crimes, but also, of course, blocking aid. And there's very specific legal reasons why the State Department did this, precisely because they're statutorily obligated to stop sending military aid and other assistance to countries that violate these specific rules. So that's why they had to say, no, they're not violating these rules. It's an important story. I hope people will take a look at it and hopefully get the word out about this.
James, this reminds me of Fauci and all that he so rightfully deserves that won't happen to him. People focus on this person, and as much good as Rand Paul and Marjorie the Gathering have done against Fauci, it's like, man, you're just focusing on the figurehead. And he's already retired and stepped down. And they're doing these, they're grilling Fauci, which I think is really kind of that steam valve move. All the people are getting a little uppity. Let's make it look like we're yelling at Fauci a little bit. But the agenda, whether that is Holocaust or pharmacological Holocaust, those agendas will still roll forward, even though they change out that human birdcage liner. That's how we get going here on New World Next Week, episode 557. Our second story, we head to China, who just landed on the moon, James. China pre-positioning for future cyber attacks, and the new NSA chief is worried. As the U.S. military's new cyber chief and head of the nation's electronic spy agency, it is Timothy Haw's job to be concerned about China's clandestine efforts to steal sensitive American data and weapons know-how. Again, awkward monkey Israel side eyes next to it. He's also contending with an unusual Chinese threat, one that's designed not to extract military secrets or data of any kind, but to lurk in the infrastructure that undergirds civilian life, as if lying in wait for the right moment to unleash chaos. Another, it sounds like a movie voiceover. We see it as a very unique and different, and also concerning, Haw said in an interview with the Wall Street Journal on the sidelines of that security conference in Singapore. And the concern is both in what is being targeted and then how it's being targeted. The U.S. believes the Chinese hacking network known as Volt Typhoon among cybersecurity experts and U.S. officials aims to pre-position in critical infrastructure networks for future attacks. We can see no other use, says Haw, who took charge of the NSA and the military cyber command in February. We see attempts to be latent in a network that is critical infrastructure that has no intelligence value, which is why it's so concerning. It's like all those symptoms you don't have when you have COVID. Unlike other state-backed hackers who typically use tools to target a network and then take that data, these Chinese intrusions involve neither. One of the reasons we believe it is pre-positioning is there are not tools being put down and there's not data being extracted. Like a bad movie script, it's quiet. Yeah, a little too quiet. And they're worried at the UN ad hoc committee to elaborate a comprehensive international convention on countering the use of information and communications technologies for criminal purposes. What's that acronym? First draft of the UN Cybercrime Convention draws troubling provisions, but dangerous and open-ended cross-border surveillance powers are all still on the table. Oh, and on 9/11 this year coming up, cyber polygon technical training. James, I guess I hadn't thought about cyber polygon in a little while, but here it is again.
It's always in the deck, isn't it? All right, you put it there parenthetically, so let me put it on the record. Yeah, for people who don't know, when you're thinking about the big cyber threats, or if Americans, for example, in the audience are thinking about the big cyber threats to them personally, the places you want to look is the NSA itself and the whole U.S. deep state apparatus. For example, back in December, when Timothy Haw was being confirmed by the Senate, Ron Wyden attempted to block that confirmation because of the shenanigans that the NSA is up to that he knows about that they will not admit to the public about spying on Americans. So there's always that. And then the other big threat, of course, the Israeli cyber spying, which is by far and away more prevalent than the Chinese cyber spying, evidence of which I will put in the show notes. I'll link up my article from 2021 on Beyond Pegasus, the bigger picture of Israeli cyber spying. But thank you, James, for pointing out the insanity, the stupidity of what we are being asked to swallow wholesale in this repositioning story. Oh my God, they're hacking into systems and doing nothing. It's so concerning. Yes. So precisely the fact that they're not doing anything is what's supposed to worry us the most, right? Anyway, like all of these stories, we just have to take their word for it. Oh, it's China? Okay. How do we know that? What evidence do we have of that? Your say-so. Well, I know you guys never lie to the American public, let alone the world, so I guess we'll just take that at face value. And if you go through this Wall Street Journal article, you'll find links to some of their previous reporting on this subject, like U.S. disables Chinese hacking operation that targeted critical infrastructure, ... Well, okay, actually, there was this kind of botnet that was infected by these wonky routers. And in fact, the infected routers weren't necessarily linked to the critical infrastructure networks the hackers targeted, officials said, but were nodes used to conceal their malicious activity from easy to... So, again, we've already got a layer of obfuscation. Okay, there's this botnet that was totally hacked by China, pinky swear, and... Oh yeah, by the way, it's not on this critical infrastructure, but they're targeting this critical infrastructure. How do we know this? Just trust us. Or another example, leaked hacking documents show China's focus on tracking ethnic minorities, which talked about this iSoon cybersecurity firm out of China and some leaked documents online about all the dastardly operations they're up to. But in the middle of their article, the Wall Street Journal admits, oh, well, we couldn't independently verify the authenticity of these files, including hundreds of pages of chat logs, client lists, and product manuals, but cybersecurity experts say the documents appear to be legitimate because they align with activities previously associated with Chinese state-sponsored hacking groups, which is the exact same nonsense we were fed about the Russian hacker groups. Oh, okay, well, we don't... The way that we know that this particular thing was Russian is because it's associated with activities that have previously been blamed on the Russians. So it's this Ouroboros snake eating its own tail nothingness of no evidence whatsoever. And I know we've pointed this out a million times before, and I hope we get to point it out a million times again before the next cyber 9/11 happens. But this is the way that the cyber 9/11 false flag, I-9/11, whatever you want to call it, event is justified in the minds of the general public, is they tell you what's happening, and you have absolutely no recourse whatsoever to any information that would help you independently verify any of this. It's Chinese hackers. Okay, what are they doing? They're infecting networks, they're routers. And what are they doing with that? They're targeting critical infrastructure. Whatever. So in the event some critical infrastructure goes down, they can just say Chinese hackers. And you know what? Maybe it is. I'm not forswearing the possibility. I have no doubt the Chinese military probably does have a hacking division that is involved in operations like these. But what it's up to, and what it's capable of, and whether or not, even if there was an authentic attack, maybe the NSA just kind of backs off on this one and lets it happen. Again, there are a million ways this could go down, and we know what's going to happen in the event of the Cyber 9/11. We know about the iPatriot Act that's sitting there waiting in the wings. We've talked about it a million times. As I say, because this is the giant deck in the card, that card in the deck, that continues to be there. They could pull out at any time. And oh, by the way, yeah, Cyber Polygon just happens to be wrapping up on 9/11 this year. Coincidence. Just as the UN, by the way, is meeting for their General Assembly, where they're probably going to rubber stamp this UN cybercrime convention that may or may not change laws all around the world to make it so governments can spy even more effectively on their own citizens. It is not looking good for the free and open internet.
At New World next week, not only are we already against the next war, we're already arguing about whether they lie hop or my hop on the I-9/11. James, and isn't it interesting? We can either agree or disagree with our own experts. Does that make it look more legit? See, we don't always bend over backwards and do whatever our experts say. Sometimes we disregard their evidence, and other times we believe it in whole cloth. A lot of questions. I have also tried to shine a light on something. We had to say it a couple of times before I remembered. Magic words, man. Critical infrastructure are magic words that were created in America post 9/11. And places like Walmart are defined as critical infrastructure. In a state of emergency, your Walmart's going to be the important place they can make you go meet up to get your relocation or whatever they may decide. Critical infrastructure are some of their magic words that they write again into their emergency declarations that throw out all those pesky laws that they love to tell us that we enjoy. Our third and final story on this New World Next Week, New Jersey gym owner who defied COVID shutdown, cleared of all charges after years-long legal battle. And imagine all the folks who aren't able financially or otherwise to pull this off. A New Jersey gym owner who defied the Garden State's COVID-19 restrictions was cleared of more than 80 charges related to a series of pandemic-era confrontations with police, and he celebrated by posting on social media that the governor could suck his D. This is Trump troll. This is Troll America, James. Ian Smith and Frank Trombetti, co-owners of the Attilis Gym in Belmar, wrapped up the summonses after they kept their workout spot open in May 2020, despite Governor Phil Murphy's mandate to close non-essential businesses. And even reading those words again, James, imagine being told, "You don't matter, shut down and die." At one point, cops even arrested some gym rats as they left the building, and the owners were hit with scores of summonses and eventually ordered to pay about $165,000 in fines for violating public health emergency rules. Several of the charges, which included violating a governor's order, operating without a mercantile license, creating a public nuisance, and disturbing the peace, could have landed the duo in a cage for 6 months, according to their attorney, John McCann of Oakland, New Jersey. But late last month, a municipal judge in Winslow Township dropped the charges following a near four-year-long legal battle. Smith, who killed a 17-year-old while drunk driving in 2007, and if this were the court of public opinion, you're not allowed to introduce that bit of information. That's what got, you know, Weinstein's case thrown out. Smith, who killed a 17-year-old while driving drunk in 2007, was arrested for another drunk driving incident in March 2022. Not related to this story at all. Celebrated his legal victory on Instagram with a post thanking his supporters and insulting the governor. This victory opens the battlefield again and gives us options to continue to push back and bring justice to the treasonous actions of Phil Murphy and his lackeys, Smith said, although he didn't elaborate on what the treasonous actions might be. Again, that's your mainstream media. We won't actually investigate any of these things. We'll just kind of make you seem like a crazy conspiracy theorist. James, as I have said, sometimes freedom is scary looking.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's messy and not always comforting. And yeah, look, personally, on a human level, I don't know any of the details of this case, of course. But anyone who kills a 17-year-old drunk driving and continues to drunk drive throughout their life is a piece of human excrement I wouldn't want to associate with. But as you say, is that relevant to this story? The answer, of course, is no, because what is actually being talked about here is not this person. Yes, this person is some sort of personal hero of mine or something along those lines. No, it's about the idea. What do they say? Great minds talk about ideas, average minds talk about events, small minds gossip about people. And so, of course, they always want to get people gossiping about people on that level. But no, this is about the broader principle of the dictates of the tyrants who believe that they can issue lockdown orders and other blatantly unconstitutional, I don't care about the Constitution. I care about basic fundamental human rights. And is this a dictatorship? Is this a tyranny? Or is it not? And they tried. They went all for it. And yes, unfortunately, it's one of those situations. You can beat the rap, but you won't beat the ride. So it takes years to essentially clear yourself of doing the right thing. And eventually, maybe, the courts will gavel down on the right side of history and you'll be vindicated and exonerated, but not without spending a lot of time in the legal process. So it's not a happy story for many reasons, but at any rate, vindication. And hopefully this sets some sort of precedent. Look, I'm not holding my breath and waiting for governors to suddenly start acting in line with basic human rights in the future, or for police or judges or what have you to be on the right side of those calls. But at the very least, for people who saw what happened and saw people like this resisting, may be more likely to resist in the future. And I think that is the real win from this.
Hopefully, yeah, patriots won't be so scarce in the time of a change, as Mark Twain talked about. Again, James, remember, they took people surfing alone in the beach and put them in jail because they were going to be in danger of being in contact with the super scary virus. None of it makes any sense. And that, I think, is a lot of part of this. Again, this is what establishment contrarian will kind of talk about, these sort of steam valve releases, but also things don't even make any sense anymore. I think that's part of the psych warfare on people. Story with Hitler made sense. Hitler's bad. Let's mobilize. Do what you can at home. Let's go over and get him. We got him. Yay, we came back home. The narratives don't even make any logical sense anymore. I think that's part of the psychological warfare on the populace. I don't even know if they know what they're doing anymore in there in Washington. Now, James, let's think about this. I could have edited out that part about dude killed somebody, just to make the story tighter for our New World Next Week purposes. But then would someone later go, hey, why didn't they mention that part? Are they trying to leave out information? We are absolutely not trying to leave out information. This is also not a voluminous, deep diving. It's pretty deep diving. But this is a limited show. And hopefully what we've done here over the near, what, how many decades we've been doing this, James? That we're laying out some crumbs that people can follow and continue to do the research for themselves. And that is New World Next Week, episode 557. We run newworldnextweek.com, and that's where you can get Corbett Report USBs and DVDs. You can also get Monarchy shirts and hats and radio plays, and actually my music shows. I forgot to mention, I've got a collection of my live radio DJ sets that are on newworldnextweek.com as well. We are not selling you The Fix. We're not selling you weird medical devices. We just want to give you the work to help support the work. And hopefully, if that work resonates with you, you will support Media Monarchy and Corbett Report. Hey, come check out the exclusive airing of these New World Next Week. I play the audio before it is published anywhere after my Thursday morning Monarchy shows. Only me and Corbett and Brock have heard them, and you can be one of the first. James, there it is, buddy.
Awesome. And yeah, thank you for pointing out about the editorial decisions that have to go into something like this, and what do we report and what do we leave out and will people find it and all of that, because those are all considerations. But as always, and that's why we always, always, always encourage people to go through the show notes and look at these stories for yourself, because, hey, you know, maybe there's some other fact that you think is relevant, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So yes, we're just putting it out on the table, and it's for yours to eat or not eat, as you so choose. On that note, I think we'll leave it there for this week. But thank you for the work that you do, James. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man, James. I appreciate you. Take care.